Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Well, good morning. I'm excited. And I'm excited for two reasons. One, that I'm actually bringing the Word of God to you this today, but I'm excited. I've seen a glimpse of my Father's heart. And next Sunday, we have a water baptism here, right here in this church. And I've seen the glimpse of my Father's heart because my daughter's getting baptized next week. All right? And I'm excited for that. And if I'm excited for my daughter, how much more excitement is my Father in heaven is for those that get baptized? And so I just want to plug this next week, Sunday, June the 3rd. If you haven't been baptized, in fact, my daughter actually wants one of these pamphlets to read it properly. See, here's a pamphlet before I forget. Excellent, excellent. And I just want to thank God that He is a good God. And this is my first sermon, first, hopefully, in a very long list of sermons, if God allows it. And I just want to thank God. About 40 years ago, I used to worship in a very small family church in Medina. And I would have many conversations with God about being a minister, to preaching God's word. And I'm sure God was encouraging me to do so. But then one day we had a guest preacher. And he spoke so long, so in depth, and so complex that my five-year-old mind just got lost in it. And from then on, I looked on preaching quite differently. Preaching must be a very hard gig, I thought. And preaching is still a very hard gig. But I just want to thank God that He's got my back. Yeah. And He's my great inspirer. And everything I speak of here today has no power to change unless the Holy Spirit's involved. Amen? So let's get that Holy Spirit of the Lord involved here today. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just call upon Your name, and I thank You for this opportunity to proclaim Your word, to proclaim Christ here today. And Father, I pray Your Holy Spirit imparts the gift of faith upon us. Let us be good ground for this word to settle on. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Is everyone ready?
Yeah.
Some preach long and in depth and complicated, but that's not me here today. I just want 10 minutes of your time, and I'm sure to finish in 20. Today, you can get to choose what you want to listen to. Amen. So, more than conquerors. Today we're going to look at being more than conquerors, and this is based in Romans 8. Most say one of the most pinnacle books of the Bible, and Romans 8, the pinnacle of the pinnacle, if there's such a thing. So let's start at the top, Romans chapter 8. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open them. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. And all the Bible verses will be up on the screens. So if you haven't got your Bible, you can look on the screens. But I'd encourage you to open your Bible, Romans 8, verse 31 to 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and He is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No! No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Wow. That's really good stuff. And there are so many truths in this little part of Scripture. So many things that God wants us to realize. But we need to shift our thinking. Many of us heard this passage and it's still being processed in our heads. But that's not the dwelling place of the Lord. The dwelling place of the Lord is here in our hearts. And He wants us to be able to stand on His word and know its truths. So let me tell you a little story. Every year on September 28th, my daughter celebrates her birthday. And as a father, I give her the choice of presents, and I say presents, or the royal show. And every year we end up going to the royal show. And she loves the rides, and she loves the show bags and all the pompous of the royal show. But I always sneak in some things that I like, much to her annoyance. And so we always end up finding ourselves at the woodchoppers. Men and women handling razor-sharp axes, chopping stuff. I like it. And it's great to watch. So one of the events we watch is called the Lumberjack Challenge. And it basically entails chopping the top off a 4-meter-high trunk. Each lumberjack has an axe and 3 or 4 planks. And he creates a platform up the trunk. He'll start at the bottom and he'll create a notch with his axe and then insert a plank. He'll climb up, stand on this plank, and then repeat, slowly getting higher until they can chop the top of the log off. And first one to finish wins. But here's the twist. The clock starts and the slowest competitor starts. And then about 30 seconds later, the next competitor starts. And maybe 15 seconds later, the next lumberjack starts. So on and so forth. It's designed so that they all finish at the same time. Now the champion lumberjack, he's the last to start. And he is poised like a wound-up spring, ready to burst from the gate at the call of his time. Unlike his competitors, each swing of his axe is precise. Each swing is unwasted. He makes every platform higher than his competitors and then reaches the top with one less platform. He trusts his work and so hangs off each level confidently, thrusting himself up and standing on it and then repeating. And when he reaches the top and starts the final chop, each chop sounds differently. Each chop sounds more powerful, has more technique behind it. Until finally, with the last axe fall, the top comes off. Job done. A champion. And that's what God wants for you too. To be more than conquerors. To be champions. And so here in this passage, God reveals all we need to know to be His champions. And there are 5 main truths here in this passage from Romans 8. So that if we can move them from our heads into our hearts, into our spirits, we are all going to walk out of here changed. I promise you that. We're going to walk out of here champions. So number 1, God is for you. Verse 31 starts off with, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, I should just finish it right there. First sermon done. God is for you. And, you know, the great Almighty, He's got my back. The great Creator, He's on my side. And He is on your side. He's got your back. He's always been for you. He'll never leave you. And He knew you before you were ever formed. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And they are good plans. Plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. God is for you. He's not against you. If you're going through hard times. And I say going through hard times. Because they will finish and they will end. Don't ever think that God's not for you. It's more likely that the devil doesn't like you, doesn't want you to be all you can be in Christ, doesn't want you to know how to stand on the word of God. But hang on, isn't the devil under our feet? He has no authority over you. God is for you. And number two, God has chosen you. Verse 33 says, who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. So let's just put the rest of this verse aside and say, and concentrate on whom has God chosen? Whom has God chosen? Well, it's you and me. That's who. And this is so amazing. There is something about you and me that God wants. Mixed up in all this mess, there is something that God desires from you. And if you don't think that's possible, then you're wrong. Because I look over all of you and I see His mark on you. He's marked you all for His own. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, He has placed His mark of ownership upon us. And He has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the guarantee of all that He has in store for us. I see the Holy Spirit in you, in you, in you, in you, and in you. And 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, for you are a chosen people, you are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. God is for you, and God has chosen you. And number three, God has justified you. Again, verse 33. Who will bring charges against you, you chosen people? No one. No one can, because God has justified you, just as if you had never sinned. Through Jesus Christ, the Lord has declared you innocent. He has declared you guiltless. He absolves you and He acquits you. Romans 8 verse 1, right at the beginning of this chapter, so there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to those who belong to Jesus. John 3 verse 18, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him. But anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. John 3:18. If you believe in Christ as your Savior, He pardons you, releases you, frees you, and clears you of all charges. Simply put, God forgives you. God is for you. God has chosen you. God justifies you. And number four, God loves you. And I will say it again, God loves you. God loves you. Verse 35 talks about who can separate us from the love of Christ. That's right. Now let me just explain something here. And this is really important for us to figure out. The world has got this thing called love or wrong. We see it in movies and we see it in books. We believe we experience it in life. But the world teaches us that love is an emotion. It's a feeling. It's something that comes and goes, a bit like the waves in the ocean, which no one really has any control over. When Christ came into this world, He put many things into their right places. Love was one of these. Because love is an action. It's not an emotion. Love is the ability to do rather than the emotion I feel. If you love somebody, you need to do something about it. Otherwise, how does that person know that you love them? For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone, not just some, everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And that is John 3:16, 17. That's a classic that we should all know. For this is how God loved the world. God loves you. God has chosen you. God has justified you. God loves you. And number five, we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 37. And this is a truth that most people miss. But I declare not today and not here, not now. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. As a parent, if my daughter has a problem, something she needs help with, I'm there. I'm working on that problem with her, for her. Well, if God's a good, good father, a perfect father, he's got your problem well in hand. He's working them out for you right now. He's got them figured out. In fact, what this means is before you ever even get a problem, you already know that you can overcome it through Christ who loves you. You don't have to be afraid of any bad news. You don't have to be afraid of any problem. And some of these problems are tragic. With Christ on the inside, there is nothing, and I say nothing, that is more than you. Because there's nothing that is too much for him who is in you. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. And if we know that God loves us and God is good, how can we doubt that he won't take care of our every situation? God is for us. God has chosen us. He justifies us and he loves us. We are more than conquerors. And I too am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, it's one magical little word, therefore, nearly there, trust in God. It's the crux of it. Trust in God. Trust in your knowledge of Christ. When I said I want you to move this knowledge from your head into your heart, it's really all about trusting. Trust in God. He's never going to let you down. He never fails. And he gives you something to help you. He has given you power. Let the weak say, I am strong. Power has been given to all of God's children. And so what kind of power is in us? Well, it's the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. And you know what it is. It's the Holy Spirit. It's what marks us as children of God. The Holy Spirit. Now, the champion lumberjack, he knows his tools. He trusts in his equipment. He sharpens his own axe. And he practices his art all the time. It's always on his lips. He wears the right safety equipment. Gloves for his hands. Boots for his feet. Glasses for his eyes. But aren't all the competitors there dressed the same? What's the difference? Well, the difference is the champion walks into the arena knowing he's the champion, knowing he's already won, convinced he has already won. And because he enters like this, all his competitors know that he is the champion and know that he has already won. So we are God's champions. And we should all be walking around like champions. We've got the armor of God on. We got Christ on our lips. The battle has already been won. And when you wake up in the morning, a champion, the devil's going to shake and tell all his mates, those revved up children of the Most High are up again. Woe is me. They know how they stand firm in the word. They know that I have no authority over them. Woe is me. Champions. So when you go forth today, go with the knowledge that you are already the victor. The battle has already been won. Any problems that you will face will pass. The King of Kings, he knows your name. He knows every hair on your head, and you are so precious to him. The angel of the Lord encamps around you. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He protects you from the evil one. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is your refuge and your strength, your ever-present help in trouble. You can take refuge under his wing. He is your shade. His right hand saves. God is your rock and your shield. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall lack nothing. The Lord watches over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. God is for you. God has chosen you. God has justified you, and God loves you. We are more than conquerors. We are God's champions. Amen. So come on, let's declare this in prayer to the Lord. Yeah. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now. We are so thankful, Lord, that you have made us more than champions through you who love us, Lord. And so, Lord, we go forth from here today, champions, with the knowledge of you, Lord. And we trust in you, Lord. And we will trust in you all the days of our life. We will not fear, for you love us and we love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.